God commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves. But how are we supposed to do that? It's impossible to love God the way God loves, right? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today with a lesson from his new 5-message series, The Greatest of These is Love. And we're in the 4th message called The Love Challenge. And we'll discover the ultimate challenge, how the Lord can love through us as individuals as we fully surrender to Him. But what does surrender really mean? And how is He going to work through me? Let's find out today. But if you can't be here for the whole lesson, we hope you'll go online to fromhisheart.org, click the radio tab, and you can listen to this program as well as others you may have missed. Now, though, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to explain to us the love challenge.
Now, we want to look today at the ultimate challenge of love. You know, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang the whole law and the prophets. The first 4 commands of the 10 commandments all have to do with our vertical relationship with God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Those are all vertical commands. And then you have commandment number 5, which goes horizontal. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet. All those are horizontal. So Jesus said, basically in his answer to the what is the greatest commandment, he said it's to love God. That's the first tablet. That's vertical. And to love your neighbor as yourself, that's horizontal. That's the second tablet. And that's a challenge for us. Now, between the two, loving God vertically, loving your neighbor horizontally, we could say if you compare those two, it is much easier to love God than it is to love horizontally, to love my neighbor. Why? Well, because God is holy, 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 holy. He's perfect. God loves us with an everlasting love. God is merciful. God is kind. God is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. God is compassionate and forgiving. I mean, and he never changes. He's faithful and true. So who wouldn't love God? It doesn't make sense that we wouldn't love God because God is so wonderful and God is so lovable. So we could say, well, loving God, we love because he first loved us. That would be much easier than loving horizontally, loving our neighbor. Why? Because our neighbor is not holy, holy, holy. Our neighbor is not necessarily very kind, not necessarily very compassionate. Our neighbor has a tendency to be selfish. Our neighbor has a tendency to be rude. Our neighbor has a tendency to be cutting. Our neighbor can stab us in the back. Our neighbor can steal from us, lie about us. Our neighbor can do a lot of terrible things to us. So that second half of the law, love your neighbor as yourself, that's the struggle. And in Corinth, they weren't loving at all. They had missed the boat on loving. They prided themselves on all their spiritual gifts, but Paul said a whole chapter, this is your big problem, you don't love. And it doesn't matter what else you do if you don't love. That's why he starts off this chapter, hey, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I have nothing if I don't have love. He said, I have nothing, I am nothing, even though I can know all prophecies and have faith to remove mountains. Even though I can do that, if I don't have love, I am nothing. I have nothing. I am nothing. If I give my body to be burned, if I give all my goods to the poor, I profit nothing. It gains nothing if I don't have love. Love is that critical. And love is a challenge. It's very hard to love. Let's just be honest. It's impossible to love like God loves, as God commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves. How are we going to do that? We can't do that without his strength, without his help, without surrendering to him, him who lives inside and say, Lord, you love through me. Now, of the things that we've talked about in this series, the qualities of love, verses 4-7, he lists 15 qualities of love. See, love is not so much defined as it's described. And it's described in the Greek, it's described in verbs, not in adjectives, but in verbs, because love is something you do. And so he says in verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked. And then we hit, we could call this the Mount Everest challenge of love. It does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. So I want us to focus on those three. We can call them kind of three little peaks on this summit, on this mountaintop of love that we compare to Mount Everest. First little peak, agape love does not hold grudges. It does not hold grudges. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. That word, take into account, that translation is from one Greek word, logizomai, which is used 40 times in the New Testament. It means to reckon, to count, to compute, to keep a record, to keep a ledger. It's an accounting term. It's what you put on the books, and you're going to consider this, you're going to reckon this, you're going to put this on the books. The scripture says love doesn't do that. As one translation says, it keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs that others do to us. Now, if you're like every other person on the planet, you have had people do things to you, either on purpose or by accident, that have hurt you. I've had that happen to me. People have done things to me, said things about me that hurt and that have wronged me, just like you have been wronged. And those hurts have to be processed. If we don't process them, we're going to hold grudges. We're going to remember, oh, you said this about me. You did this to me. Some of you, you're holding somebody captive. Somebody did something to you and you wrote it down, so to speak, not physically wrote it down, but it's recorded there. You did this to me. And love says, you don't keep a record of wrongs. You have to release that person. You have to let that go. See, agape love forgives those who hurt us. And you have people that hurt you, and I have people that have hurt me. And love says you let that go. You forgive. The word for forgive that's used 140-something times, 146, I believe, in the New Testament, aphiemi. It literally means to forgive, to send away, to release, to let go. Now, here's what unforgiveness does. Unforgiveness holds on to the offense and to the offender. And this is so beautifully pictured in the parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18. You know, Matthew 18 is such a critical chapter. That's where Peter asked Jesus. He said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times? The rabbi said three times. Peter doubled it and added one for good measure. And he thought Jesus was going to be so blown away because Peter was, I'm so magnanimous. I could forgive my brother up to seven times. And Jesus said, no, it's not seven times. It's 70 times seven. It's an infinite number of times. And then he tells the parable about the slave who owed his master 10,000 talents. This gigantic sum of money, 10,000 talents. To give you an idea of how much 10,000 talents is, a talent is a measure of weight. It's between 60 and 80 pounds. And to give you an idea of how much money that is, Solomon, who's the richest man by far in the Bible, one of the richest men who has ever lived. Somebody said if you put Solomon into today's world, he'd be a trillionaire. I mean, he's just unbelievably wealthy. His haul for a given year in taxes and revenues coming to him was 666 talents of gold. That's Solomon. Jesus is talking about somebody that owes the master 15 times that of Solomon's annual haul. I mean, this is a huge amount of money. No one would ever have that much money, and no one would ever have a slave get into him for 10,000 talents. But Jesus was expressing the fact that, hey, the master is God, and you owe God an unbelievable amount from your sin debt. So he said this guy had 10,000 talents, and the master forgave him when the slave cried out for mercy. But then this forgiven slave goes out and he finds a fellow slave who owed him 100 denarii, 100 days' wages. Now, 100 days' wages is not nothing. If we just for the sake of math principles, because I'm not great at calculating things on the stage in front of a crowd, let's say you make $100 a day, he owes you 100 days' wages, that's $10,000. That's not nothing, but that's such a huge cry from 10,000 talents, which is 350 tons of gold. That's what 10,000 talents would equal. Did you know it would take a slave 20 years of labor to earn one talent? 20 years. And so he has this huge discrepancy and disparity, and this guy finds somebody that owes him 100 talents, and this is what the scripture says. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. Here is the picture of unforgiveness. It seizes and it begins to choke, and it doesn't let go of the person who offended you. You pay me what you owe. I'm not going to let go of this. I'm not going to let go of the fact that you hurt me. I'm not going to let go of you. That's unforgiveness. Forgiveness is letting go. It's releasing that person. It's setting the captive free. And when you do, you find out the captive was yourself. Because unforgiveness doesn't hurt the person. Unforgiveness hurts you. And that's why Jesus is so hard on this issue of unforgiveness. He says in Matthew 6:15, but if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Well, you're in serious trouble in your walk with the Lord if the Lord says, I'm not going to forgive you because you won't forgive your brother. You can't walk with God if because you sin every day and I sin every day. And God says, no, you deal with that sin. Now, God is so hard on that, on the issue of unforgiveness, because he knows that if you don't forgive, it's going to destroy you. And God loves you too much to see you destroy yourself. See, here's the deal. If you don't forgive, then resentment and bitterness find a home in your heart. And agape love doesn't let resentment and bitterness find a home. That's why it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, be angry and yet do not sin. We talked about that last week. It's called righteous indignation. It's okay to be angry, but don't get angry for yourself. If you get angry because people are doing things against the Lord, it's okay to get angry. Jesus got angry when they turned the temple into a den of thieves. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Every time you get hurt, somebody says something or does something to you and it hurts you, it wounds your heart. As you nurse the hurt and rehearse the hurt and curse the hurt and think about the hurt, you will get angry. The flip side of hurt is anger every single time. And if you let the sun go down on your anger and you don't deal with the anger, you don't rightly process the anger, you're going to get resentful and bitter toward that person who hurts you. And the Bible says, don't do that. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. And then it says, don't give the devil an opportunity. The word for opportunity, topos in the Greek, T-O-P-O-S, also means place. Don't give the devil a place. Don't give him space in your heart. People who refuse to forgive, this is what, you don't understand this, but spiritually what you're doing is throwing out a welcome mat on the door of your heart to the devil and saying, come on in, Mr. Devil, set up shop in here. Don't give the devil a place. Agape love doesn't keep records of wrongs. It forgives, and it doesn't let resentment and bitterness find a home. Here's the thing. The Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 12, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. You know, if you see and hang out with a bitter person, you can figure it out pretty quickly. That person is bitter toward somebody or something. Maybe they're bitter toward the church or bitter toward this school or bitter toward this company because the company didn't treat them right or whatever. When you hang out with a bitter person, that bitter person doesn't keep the bitterness to himself or herself. That bitter person has to share the bitterness. Well, did you know what so-and-so did to me? And they share what so-and-so did to them so that they can get you on their team so that you can be on the posse that hates that person too. They hate them. They want you to hate them too. So a root of bitterness springing up and many be defiled. So be good to yourself. Forgive those who hurt you. And not only forgive, but forget. See, love does not remember the offense against the offender. You know, we've heard the phrase, well, I'll forgive so-and-so, but I'm not going to forget. I'll forgive what you did, but I'm not going to forget it. Hey, is that the way you want God to treat you? Oh, you know, I'll forgive what you did, but I'm not going to forget it. I'm writing it down in the book. See, it says love doesn't do that. Doesn't keep a record of when it has been wronged. And love doesn't remember against another person. Listen to what Isaiah 43 says. Even I, this is the Lord speaking, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, when God says, I won't remember your sins, that doesn't mean that God doesn't know that you did that. God is God. He knows everything. God doesn't all of a sudden just get Alzheimer's and says, well, I can't remember that. God knows, but he doesn't remember it against you. That's what he is saying. When the Lord, 1 Kings chapter 15, talking about David, David's been dead for a good while now in 1 Kings 15, and the Bible talks about David. David's the standard bearer of good kings, and it says David followed the Lord fully with all his heart, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. David had Uriah the Hittite murdered so he could marry Bathsheba, his wife, because David had an affair with Bathsheba when Uriah was out fighting battles for the king. You know the story, 2 Samuel chapter 11. And so David did a terrible sin, and the Lord knows he did that. The Lord forgave him for that, but he knows that he did it. He didn't just forget. Well, no, David didn't. He wouldn't do that. You're telling me. It's news to me because I must have forgotten all that. No, when the Bible says forgive and forget, it means you don't hold that against someone. You forget that they did that in terms of holding it against them. Agape love does not hold grudges, and that can be so hard for us because all of us have been hurt. And all of us have had people say and do things to us. How do you deal? What do you do if you had a parent who really hurt you, maybe physical abuse or sexual abuse? How do you deal with that? And it's continuing because they're still alive and you have to deal with that person. How do you do that? This is what I found to help you not get bitter, stay bitter at someone who's hurt you and maybe continues to hurt you. Pray for that person. Pray God would bless that person. Pray that God would work in that person's life and shower down goodness and grace on that person. Listen, it's really hard to be bitter towards someone of whom you are constantly praying for. That helps you. It's not so much for the other person. It's for you so that your heart stays clean because love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Second peak on the mountaintop. Agape love does not rejoice in sin. Verse 6, does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Doesn't rejoice in moral wickedness. See, sin is a crippling and destructive thing. It's a cancer of the soul that brings death. And real love can't rejoice in sin. It's not glad about sin. Now, there are two types of sin that we have to watch out that we don't rejoice in. First type is personal sin. Agape love does not rejoice in personal sin. You know, the scripture says about Moses that he chose to endure ill treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Sin is pleasurable. That's why we're tempted to do it. If sin weren't pleasurable, nobody would do it, right? Let's say if overeating was like somebody sticking a knife in your foot, nobody would do it. It'd be like, I'm not taking that next bite. I'm done, you know? If lusting, somebody stuck a knife in your foot, you wouldn't do it. If whatever it is caused you physical pain, and it was just, this is awful. This is going to make me so sick. I'm not doing it. But here's the thing about the devil. He's too smart to go fishing without any bait on his hook. You know, a fish knows when he sees a worm on that hook, man, the worm looks good and it tastes good and it is good. The problem with the worm is it's on a hook. And so when you bite on the worm, you also get the hook, and the hook is not good. And the passing pleasure of the taste of the worm does not compare to the hook. And then when you bite on that worm with the hook, you're hooked and cooked, gutted and grilled. It wasn't worth it. And you say, nah, that wasn't a good thing. But sin is like that. It has pleasure, but it's a passing pleasure.
Oh, if we could only redo our thinking before those passing pleasures took over. We can't, though. But we do have forgiveness in Christ when we surrender it all to Him. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today's message, The Love Challenge, from his new 5-message series, The Greatest of These is Love. Now, the greatest commandment is for us to love God, and the second greatest commandment is for us to love our neighbors as ourselves. If you and I miss love, we will miss the main thing, because that's what it's all about. If love is not motivating your actions today with your friends and family and even your enemies, then it means nothing. This eye-opening series will help you discover the truth about love and how God calls us to love others and what it really means in your life, practically speaking. And this series is also our thank you gift for your support of any amount from His Heart this month. You can request it on a USB flash drive, CDs, DVDs, or as an immediate MP3 download. Just call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the series The Greatest of These is Love when you make your gift this month. We also want to remind you that Pastor Jeff will be leading an incredible 11-day trip to the Holy Land. Begins Monday, September 27th to Wednesday, October the 6th. And he'd love to have you join him. You'll be visiting Tel Aviv, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum, the Jordan River, the Golan Heights, the Western Wall, the Dead Sea, Bethlehem, the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Garden Tomb, the Pool of Bethesda, and much, much more. Listen, this is an extraordinary opportunity to visit these sacred places of our faith called the Holy Land and learn from Pastor Jeff directly. You'll come away with a new perspective and appreciation of the Bible, of Jesus, of your faith, no doubt. Pastor Jeff would love for you to join him this fall, so you can find out more details when you go online to fromhisheart.org and start packing your bags. Well, time's up for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for being here and supporting this great station, and we hope you'll join us tomorrow for part 2 of this powerful lesson from Pastor Jeff's series, The Greatest of These is Love. Join us on Wednesday as we continue to take the love challenge by opening up God's Word and sharing real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that. Go to fromhisheart.org.